My name is Alyssa Robinson, and you're tuned in to the Treach Podcast. On our last episode, Julie Hawkins shared with us how her faith has informed her parenting. This week, she shares how her parenting style has changed in 2020 and what she has learned about herself. You can catch up on previous episodes at tmumc.org/podcast. We could do an entire podcast on this year and what this year has meant for parenting. Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to ask you is, what have you learned about yourself as a parent this year that maybe you didn't know about yourself previously, or there you found a strength within you that you didn't know you had?
The strength I found that I wasn't previously aware of is that I have the ability to let things go. And if my husband's listening, he's going to say, no, you don't. But I actually do. Things that I would get wrapped up in before, I've come to realize they don't matter. It's not the end of the world. Grades for kids are not as important now as them understanding the work and being emotionally stable during all of this. You know, if we get to the end of the day and I look in my daughter's room and there's a towel on the bathroom floor and the bed is not made, but she's gotten all her work done and she's happy, that's okay. The world is not going to end because of things like that. And just focusing on what is important, because everything has been taken away. And so much of, especially the kids' self-worth has changed, or the way they examine it has changed, because, you know, they're not going to school. They're not competing in sports. And sports start young. And these select sports with kids, you know, start second and third grade, and the amount of time and the amount of money that parents put into sports and gymnastics and music and violin and all of it, all of that kind of has been taken away. And to learn that we're okay as parents and as families without it has been a little bit of a blessing, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back to my time in middle school and high school and even elementary school, everything that I did was defined by the sport I was right. in and the friends that I made, the extracurriculars that I would do, like everything right. was around getting out and being involved in activities. And so that's been taken away from our kids, your kids. I don't have kids.
Yeah.
But
our kids as a society.
Yeah, our kids. Have you noticed changes in your kids? So you mentioned, you know, them learning that their self-worth does not come from these activities that they're a part of.
Yeah.
What has kind of alerted you to that change?
Well, and they've all handled it differently. I mean, my oldest is just isolated and kind of apart from the world. And my middle daughter, who is now a senior in high school, it's hurting her. I mean, I think that choir and voice is a huge part of her identity. And she's got this operatic voice that you would not expect to come from her. And to be able to not do that, I mean, choir is one of the things that's, you know, really hard to do right now. To have that kind of taken away and have everything canceled, you know, one after another this summer, and to go to virtual voice lessons and things like that, and to not be able to have that camaraderie with her friends has been a challenge. Like it's been hard for her. So she does play sports. She's playing golf, and that's good because you can socially distance and play golf. And I, as a mom, don't worry about that with COVID. So she's taken it kind of differently. It's really hard. My kids don't go back to school until the 14th. And so she's counting down the days, but my youngest is perfectly fine. She is on the high school tennis team and does that in the morning, but she would be fine staying in online school because she can talk to who she wants to. And it's been interesting watching how it affects them all differently. Like, you think it's just going to have one effect and everyone's going to react the same, but they don't. And that's okay. We're all different. God created us all as individuals made in His image. And whatever we are feeling is okay. And I think we need to reassure our kids and let them know that.
So with COVID, with racial tensions, with politics, with job loss for some people, what are some of the conversations that you've been having with your kids? Have they come to you with questions about things, or?
How blunt can I be?
As blunt as you need to be.
Okay. So, yes, they have come to me. This is one way where I actually think social media is not a bad thing, because if they're wrapped up in their phones and their devices or whatever, they are being made aware because they are seeing more than they might have seen otherwise. So I was at work. I was in the kitchen probably 2 months ago. Maybe it was June. I'm losing track of time now. I don't know. Maybe in June. But my phone rang, and it was one of my children. And I think Doug was in the kitchen and a couple other people, and I answered on speakerphone because I thought, okay, she's going to call me in and say, what should I make for lunch today? Because that's the usual every single day. What should I make for lunch today? And so I answered the phone. I'm like, yes. And she said, do you believe Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter? Hmm. Like, not hi, not Mom, I have a question.
It had obviously been weighing on her.
Boom.
And she had been thinking about it and went straight in for the kill.
For the answer. So I was like, okay, we're discussing this right now. And Doug and Daniel may have been in there. I can't remember. But anyway, I was like, okay, we're going to have this conversation right now. And so we did. And there were some protests going on, and some of her friends were going to the protests. But she said, I feel like they're going just to stand there and hold up a sign, and they haven't really thought about why they're going or what the meaning is. And so that was a great opportunity for me to talk to both of my daughters about, you know, what is going on in the world. And I was raised by a mother who took us to protest marches in Houston. And I have to tell you, we were the only white people from Katy, Texas, going to these marches. But she wanted us to know. We read books about the Ku Klux Klan. We, you know, contributed and visited the Southern Poverty Law Center for as long as I can remember. That was part of my life, that we might have lived in Katy, Texas, but this is not how the world operates. This is, other things happen in society, and you need to know about them. Because if you don't know about them, then you're contributing to the problem. So I was lucky to be raised like that. And I feel like my mother equipped me to be able to have these conversations with my kid, that can recover quickly when I'm thinking my daughter's going to ask about macaroni or a sandwich. And she says, do you believe Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter? I was lucky enough to be raised to know how to answer those questions and to have a conversation and not say, oh, we're not going to talk about that. Because I think a lot of parents just, you know, don't address the issue and don't engage their kids. And if your kid comes to you with a question, engage them, talk to them, because you know what? They're going to get to a point where they don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So if they do, no matter the age, talk to them.
Well, and it's very clear to me that when you get a phone call like that, that means that you as a parent have opened up that opportunity for them. That is not the first time she's probably come to you with a very blunt question about what's going on in the world. And it tells me that you as a parent have created space for her to feel comfortable to come to you and ask those questions, or else it probably wouldn't have been a quick phone call of like, hey, I need the answer on this.
Yes.
So kudos to you for creating that space, because that's something that takes time. And like you said, if kids feel shut down over and over again, because as parents or as adults, we feel uncomfortable,
right,
and so we'd rather not have the conversation, they will stop coming to us.
Right.
And then who are they going to, and what answers are they getting? Because the questions don't stop.
No, they don't. And I think it's okay to tell your kids, I don't know, I don't have all of the answers. And yes, this makes me uncomfortable too, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. I think a lot of times people don't say anything because they don't want to say the wrong thing. So acknowledge that. Own it. That's the only way we're going to grow as a society.
And what kinds of questions or feelings have your kids expressed about COVID and what's going on with that?
You know, they're all over the map. We have my stepkids in commerce One works at a grocery store and one works at Walmart, and they're worried. They're scared because they've been frontline workers and working through all of this. And, you know, the lack of respect from some people in the public has been, I think, hard for them to take, and just the way they've been treated. And then the other one is just kind of buckled down and in his own world and working and, you know, somewhat ignoring it all. But the emotions aren't constant. It's not necessarily a roller coaster. Maybe it's the mind train, you know, so it's a little bit up and down, but not this complete huge drop. But the emotions change throughout the day. I mean, they see me buying Clorox wipes and buying Lysol, and, you know, I'm going to give it to their teachers, and I'm stocking up for my husband's classroom because he's about to go back into the classroom. And so I think there's probably some unspoken fear, definitely for my husband and for my youngest daughter, and my middle daughter is just ready to be back at school. So they're all different. They don't want to get sick, but they want to be back doing things and want life to be back to normal. But what is normal? And was normal good in the first place? Was normal the right answer in the first place? And I don't think it was.
Say more about that.
I think that this has given us the opportunity as a whole to look at things in our lives and figure out what really matters. Does the family unit matter? Whatever that family unit may look like, mom, dad, two kids, mom, two kids, dad, three kids, whatever the family unit looks like, what are we showing these kids that is important in our lives and in society? Are all the extracurriculars what's important to us? Is our mental health what's important to us? Is the way we achieve our education in life? I think typical is gone, and I think it's been an opportunity for parents and families to look at what works for us and what is the best thing to prepare and equip us to contribute to society down the road and in the future. And with the world events going on, what is our role in that? I mean, just because we're in suburban Texas, we all contribute to the happenings in the world. And so I think had we not been locked down in COVID during everything else that's happening with the racial tensions and gender equality and socioeconomic struggles, had we not been locked down in COVID, I don't know that we would have paid as much attention as we're paying now. And I think that will help us in the long run.
Another thing that I'm seeing for parents is that they are in a pressure cooker right now. There is so much judgment and so much pressure for every little decision that parents are making. And so a big thing is school starting up, and children actually being physically present in classrooms. So if you are a parent who chooses to put your kids in the class, you're a negligent parent who doesn't care about your kids' health. Yes. If you are a parent who chooses to do virtual learning, then you are living in fear and you're going to pass that fear of the world on to your kids.
Yes.
And it feels like any decision that parents make, there is no right answer for anything. So as parents, how are we supposed to make decisions?
Yeah, you have to find that inner strength and that inner confidence and pray for discernment and pray for wisdom. I mean, if you look at the Bible and our biblical heroes, they know when to ask for help. And so this is a time when we need to ask for help. And honestly, I've had those questions from my kids. You know, one kid is like, you don't care. You're sending us back to school. You're making us go. And the other one's like, yes, I'm going. We're going. And so there's conflict and struggle within the family about it. And I am pretty sure that whichever decision a mom or a dad or a grandparent makes for their kids, they're not totally convinced that's the right decision. But we're going with faith, and we're going with what we think is best. And it is very easy to judge and to assume that this person doesn't care, or this person hasn't thought about, you know, society, or this person is the reason my kid's being exposed to germs. It's all scary. And that's been one of the toughest parts about the past month, is honestly watching social media and attacks against other people that I know are caring and loving, and are now frustrated that they've been home and times have changed and been difficult. And so it's easier to lash out to someone on social media than maybe it would be face to face. And that's sad. So it is hard, and there's a lot of judgment.
So, with everything on social media, I'm wondering, is it even a wise decision to be posting your choices on social media?
Yeah.
If you're not prepared, because I feel like these days it's almost guaranteed, if I'm going to post something related to COVID, related to Black Lives Matter, related to politics, related to anything major happening around the world, I will get backlash.
Yes.
From people, because everybody's angry.
Yes.
And everybody has an opinion. Is it better for us to just not put it out there, or are we doing a disservice by not speaking our minds?
I kind of wonder that a lot. And you know me, I speak my mind, but a couple of things hold me back from that. Number one is I work at a church and I'm in ministry, and I don't ever want to say anything or post anything or do anything that might possibly give someone the wrong impression of my true heart and my true values. And number two, I'm married to a teacher. So within the community, I feel like I need to support the teachers because they're struggling right now. But third, the other thing is, and this is not COVID related or socially related at all, but, you know, by posting, I'm giving my children an online identity before they are really old enough to have a say in it. And so I have kind of struggled with that, you know, over the years and before this, as to, well, whatever I'm putting out there, you can't ever take it back. It's like my mom always told me, don't say anything that you wouldn't write on a piece of paper and sign your name to. Well, that's what you're doing on social media. So it's this whole good and bad thing. And, you know, you want to say, oh, here's my first day of school picture, but you're not everybody is where you are with that. And so I think we just have to work at accepting that we're all in a different place. And the other thing is, this is for now. It's not going to be this way forever. And if we can step back and remember that, and that's what I tell my friends that are struggling with remote learning, because I cannot imagine for the life of me doing remote learning with my three kids when they were younger. And seeing friends in tears with kids in different rooms, or kids all in the same room lined up at the kitchen table, and keep, you know, the schedule on the wall. It's a lot, and it's a struggle. And I'm not exactly sure what the answer is or how to support parents, other than saying, I see you and I hear you and I am praying for you, and with the most genuine, heartfelt way that I can.
So what are some of the biggest struggles that you see parents experiencing right now based on age group of their kids? So like those who have toddlers versus elementary versus, you know, middle and high school age students, like what are some of the things, the feedback that you're getting as the director of children's ministry?
So the toddlers and the preschoolers are, I'm, you know, struggling because they need more one-on-one attention. And if a mom or a dad can't drop them off at preschool, I think things are starting to open back up now, and our own preschool opened back up. And so I think that's going to be a benefit to parents, and hopefully everyone can stay healthy and we can keep kids in school. But they're struggling with the amount of one-on-one attention they need, with the parents trying to get what they would normally get done, but whether it's their, you know, career or, you know, the household chores and dinner and groceries and all of that. And, you know, I spoke to a mom last night who said she's having to go to the grocery store late at night because she's spending all day doing, she has a 3-year-old and she has a 5-year-old and doing preschool and then trying to help the older kids stay self-sufficient. It's just never-ending, exhausting.
I haven't even thought about it. I bet Walmart is seeing a lot of midnight grocery trips for moms. I hadn't thought
of that. I know. I hadn't thought of that
and
either.
And dads.
It's Amazon for me. I mean, I'm contributing to the Amazon problem. But they're struggling with that. And they're also struggling with, and I hadn't really thought of this, you know, we as a church are providing online worship. And my family has been online worshiping. I come to the outdoor service, but my family does online. And we provide the kids worship service, which is the best alternative we can do right now. And we provide activities with it. But at the same time, you know, parents of smaller kids can't just put the worship service on for the kids and have them watch. They're not independent enough. They're not old enough to do that. And so parents and families are trying to figure out how to, or, you know, do the worship with their kids and then worship on their own without toddlers and preschoolers coming in. And that's been hard for them. And then the kids in elementary school, it's missing friends. That's, you know, some kids are staying in a bubble with their family and they're isolating and they're going to continue remote learning while some of their friends might not be doing that. And they're old enough to know who's hanging out together. And that's been really hard being isolated for that. And then just adapting to remote learning. Because it's not the same remote learning it was in the spring. In the spring, it was, oh, no, what are we going to do? We have to finish the year. And it was pass fail. And now it's really not. Now it's a little hardcore. And then some of the middle school and high school students are working on time management. And maybe their parents have gone back to work and they're home on their own doing it. And the parents are having to trust that the kids are actually logging on to WebEx and Zoom and going to class and staying on top of things. And, you know, you have some teachers that are adapting to that and helping more and some saying, okay, well, you've been on a break this whole time, so let me give you more to catch up. You know, just trying to get them back on track academically. But kids are feeling the stress. Kids do better with structure and routine, and they haven't had that. And it's hard to get them back into that now. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll get better, when there's a vaccine and things start opening up. But there's no one good answer of, okay, here's how to make it work. And here's what you need to do to help your family.
So you had kind of mentioned this earlier of like, you know, as the director of children's ministry, sometimes you don't know how to be best supportive of the families,
right,
and what they're going through right now. And I know you're doing your best and you're putting so much out there digitally of how they can continue to have conversations with their kids. And you're trying so hard to continue the church being a pillar of support for families.
Right.
As a parent, how do you think the church could do a better job supporting you? And this is, you know, not to put a spotlight on, I'm going to create more work for you, Julie,
yeah,
because whatever you say, now okay, you have to do. But in the perfect world where money was no issue, where time was no issue, where the church could literally just do anything that was needed by the community, how do you think the church could be supporting families?
The thing that I've seen that has made the biggest impact, or that I've had the most feedback on over the past 6 months, is when we do porch drops and we drop off something that will keep the kids busy or make them feel loved or just a reminder that we're here. That's made a big difference. One mom had posted on social media that she just had her fourth baby and things were hard. Obviously, they would be hard even if we weren't in a pandemic. And honestly, I sent that mom Tiff's Treats cookies, which made such a difference to her just because it lifted her up, I think, but also just showed that someone's listening. There's somebody out there besides me that actually cares that we are struggling right now. And I don't like to just throw money at things in ministry. I want to actually make a difference and give tangible ways to help people. But you know, that Sonic drink goes a long way. And as a parent, that sometimes just that little boost to get you over the hump makes a difference. Because what we're seeing now is parents and kids are online so much for school right now, and parents are online helping their kids, that the resources I provided even a month ago, you know, parents might not have time to watch them right now, or they might not see it, or the cards that I'm mailing might sit on the kitchen counter for a little bit longer than they would have beforehand. So it's tough. Yeah. I've saw one church that did, I don't know how they did it, but they had a thing at Starbucks and they posted a QR code and said, "Moms, we know you're struggling. Just go through Starbucks and show this QR code. Starbucks is on us this morning." And I thought, okay, that would make me feel good as a mom. And she's like, "Oh, okay." And even just loading kids up and getting out of the house and going for a drive sometimes, you know, makes a difference. A change of scenery is a big help at times.
Yeah. And so I was setting you up. So,
thank you.
Like I always do.
Yeah.
Because hearing you say that one of the things that has been most appreciated are the porch drops, because right. people feel seen, they feel loved. It can be a tiny thing like a box of Play-Doh yeah. that you're delivering to the kids. There is no reason that parents can't do that for each other. And I think that we feel we put so much pressure on the church
yes.
to be providing all of the love and support to us
right.
and we see ourselves as consumers of the church.
Right.
What is the church providing to me?
Yeah.
And so I just want to take a moment to empower and encourage parents to be the church in the community, so that not so much pressure is put on Julie in the children's ministry department. I know she loves doing those porch drops
yeah.
and loves seeing your kids and the pictures that you post of how excited your kids are when they receive that. But I just want to tell any parents who are listening, this power is in your hands
right.
to do the same for your community and drop off some extra cookies with your next door neighbor if
right.
you know that they're having a good time. And maybe try and do one porch drop a month with your kids.
Yeah.
And let them see how you are being the church and the hands and feet of Christ in your community. And Julie has already told us how impactful she's seen those porch drops are. And so, Julie, I set you up.
You did, but I'm really happy. Happy. That's great. Thank you. I might have to implement that for October. Like, we sign each other up to do boo drops or something. But I mean, I'm not kidding. A $5 Sonic gift card can go get drinks for the kids after school, because Sonic has happy hour from 3 to 5. So that's 5 drinks it'll buy you. Yeah, that would make the biggest difference in somebody's life. And it's an easy thing. And back to what I said earlier about kids will see your behavior and kids will model you and learn from you. And so the more we as parents can do things like that, and the more we as parents can say, you know, thank you when we're at Walmart or Tom Thumb buying our groceries, and we appreciate what you're doing, mm-hmm. then they'll learn.
Yeah. And as an example, and this is on record now, I am going to take up this challenge of doing a porch drop once a month, because I am a person without kids. I am a person who I have some extra income that I can put towards that. And if it's just $10 a month that yeah. I'm spending on dropping off a gift on somebody's porch, I commit to work with Julie
Yay.
To do a porch drop for a family in
right.
need.
I'm signing you month. Up.
So for those who are listening who don't have kids, we know that we are surrounded by parents who are so strung out and so stressed right now. And for parents, if the porch drop just sounds like one more thing on your to-do list, we don't want it to feel that
right.
way. But if you are listening to this as someone who maybe you're an empty nester, or maybe you are a young adult without kids, and this is something that you would like to participate in, I strongly encourage you to do so and to be that person who is seeing the parents in your community and showing them that they're not alone.
Or if you're a parent of a teenager that drives, I mean, give the teenager $5 and say, go get a Sonic card and let's drop this off somewhere and get the teenagers involved or drive your teenager. I'm a very big advocate of the whole family should participate in something. And teenagers want to do something. They don't know what to do right now. They're stuck. I've seen it in my own kids and I've seen it in their friends. They want to feel like they're helping. This is an easy way for them to help. It's a great idea. Thank you, Alyssa. I'm going to run with it now.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for being willing to share your story, your advice, what you're seeing happening. Because I think that, you know, as our director of children's ministry, you have a better insight into what the attitude is and what the feelings are and what the families of our community are experiencing right now. And so I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I hope to have you on the show again.
Anytime. Wasn't as bad as I thought.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode with Julie. I hope you'll join me in finding small ways to show appreciation for the parents of your community and lift them up with encouragement. Tune in next week and listen to previous episodes at tmumc.org/podcast.